etc., that I want you to stick with me throughout. It's going to be a few weeks, and even as I laid some points out this morning, it's called walking in blessing and not the curse. And I'm going to tell you, there was a time in my life that as soon as I heard that title, I would have tuned it out because of the way I was raised, because of the way I was raised to believe what was taught, so much of what our experiences in life. You've heard me say many times, so much the experiences of our lives or what we were taught really kind of become part of the fabric of our whole being. Is it not true? And it's hard to, some of these things that I'll just say that are false, sometimes it's hard to kind of pull or weed out some of these things. And so I'm going to start on the walking in blessing and not the curse. But I wanted to mention this too. Have you noticed what's been going on as far as even, especially at the school board level, what's going on with this critical race theory stuff? Man, there's been a major rebellion by people against this nonsense that's being taught. Yeah. And so it's just raising up organically by people filling up school boards, etc., saying, hey, my kid's not going to be taught this. Even, did you see where in Iowa the governor outlawed that be taught in the state? Did you see that? That critical race theory cannot be taught in the state of Iowa. Signed into law. We're going to see more and more of this. I saw a gal, I don't know if she, I guess it was maybe a parent in New York who just got up, man, and just let them have it, the school board, about this stuff that's being and taught, about everything in our the fabric of our nation and the Constitution that we have is just being racist. That's not true. You know, it was the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening is what got us to separate, and to become from Britain and to have the Revolutionary War. That was the awakening of people coming to Christ. It was the second Great Awakening that we end up having the Civil War, where hundreds of thousands of individuals gave their life that we could get rid of slavery. And anywhere you have people in a nation or have people, you're going to have struggles and problems. But I'm telling you right now, I don't believe this nation is rooted and grounded in racism. I know I'm not. I have a lot of people of different races, colors, or whatever, that I love dearly. I was watching a video of, I can't think of the group, Gina's not here, so of course, she's my memory half the time. But they were singing a worship song. I tell you, there was people every race and color with joy just worshiping the Lord. I said, man, that's the church. That's the church. Just worshiping and loving one another, being around one another, serving the one true God. That's what it's about, amen? So seeing people rise up and say, I'm not believing this. I'm going to allow this to be taught in the schools, because that's where it needs to really start. Amen? So we're going to see more of this uprising. We're going to see more people taking our country back for Christ. Did you know that in July, there's going to be a critical decision before the Supreme Court regarding abortion? Be praying for that. Did you know that Roe versus Wade, something's happening that we thought we might never see about Roe versus Wade being overturned? Or going back to the states. And if there's something that's a hitch in your heart, allow the Lord to touch and soften your heart in that area, because he loves the unborn. I'm telling you, he loves the unborn. I can give you many, many, many scriptures. And what I love about God and his grace and his mercy, I have to always say this, that those that have been involved in abortion or in that field, God forgives, sets free, delivers, heals. I said he heals a soul from the effects of things like that, the effects of sin, to where it's like it never even happened. That's the grace of God, the power of God, things that have affected our hearts and our souls, no matter what it is in the past. God heals, or is willing to heal our hearts and souls as if it never happened. Amen? That is what the power of God does in our lives. Amen. It doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen like that. As we walk with him, as we trust him, as our faith is in him, he slowly changes those things that are in our soul realm that keep us kind of bound up or keep us back from Him or keep us from fulfilling what He has in our lives. But slowly but surely, as we follow Him, He just continues to heal our hearts. He continues to grow us up into Him. He continues to lead and guide us, to lead us out of things where people said, "You, I can't even believe you came out of that background. I never would have thought that was you." God loves doing that. And then when people see that, say, "I would never guess God brought you out of that background," it gives hope for people. Amen. How many of you are so glad God has brought you out of what He has into His marvelous light, into His marvelous mercy and grace, amen, to be everything that He has called us to do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Walking in blessing and not the curse. I brought this up, or let me just tell you my first experience with this. First of all, I told you that when somebody had mentioned about God blessing you and finances and this and that, just because I was the way I was raised or the abuses I saw on TV, I said, "No, that's ungodly." Or I would take a scripture like 1 Timothy 6 that talks about the love of money being the root of all kinds of evil. The King James misinterprets that when it says the root of all evil. That's not a right interpretation, by the way, in the King James Bible. It's the root of all kinds of evil. So people will take a scripture, one scripture like the love of money being the root of all kinds of evil, so they'll just say, "Okay, God can't bless you financially," or "God," or "it's very rare that God would bless you financially," or "if you talk about it, that's, you better not talk about it. That's really talking about things of the flesh." But you know, as God started opening up those years ago, started opening up my heart to His grace and His mercy, I read Deuteronomy chapter 28, which talks about the blessing and the cursing. And I'll tell you what got my attention. It wasn't the blessings that I read that got my attention. It was the cursings in there, the curse of the law we're going to talk about, that got my attention, because I started seeing a lot of those things that were talked about in the curse were active in my life. And it's like a light bulb went off in my soul. And this is what I said to myself, and I know it was the Lord. If I'm seeing the curse of the law operating in my life, why can't I see the blessing of the law or blessing of God? And we'll talk about how the law doesn't, we're not under the law. But I said, if I'm seeing cursings in my life and it's just like my eyes open, why can't I see the blessing? I'm telling you today, as we go through this, God wants to bless your life. I think we're in a time and a frame with people as we understand His grace and getting rooted and grounded in true salvation by His grace, that God wants to build upon that the blessings that He has for all of our lives. Let me say that again. God wants to bless your life. God wants to bless you. It looks different in America than it might look in a different country about God's blessing. People say to me, "Well, what about the people in Mexico? Or what about the people in different countries?" I'll say, God wants to bless them too. It may look different. The blessing of my life looks different today than it would in the time of Abraham. He lived in a tent. I don't live in a tent, but yet he was blessed. He had many sheep and goats and different things. He was blessed. That's how he was blessed during his time there where he was at. That was the blessing of God on their lives. In our area, in our country, the blessing of God looks different. It's different in other areas of the world, but it still remains God wants to bless you regardless of where you are at and where you find yourself. It just may look differently. Even people in third world countries, I've heard stories of those who love the Lord, got a hold of His goodness, and God blessed them, even in an area of poverty. God blessed them. But even then, it's not our focus, just the blessing. That's not what our focus is. But as we trust Him, as we start understanding, as we go into how God, we want to be open and available for His blessing in our lives. It's to bless others. It's for others to see that, man, what did God do in your life again? What did He do? I want that. I want that. You guys have heard this story. I know on Wednesday nights, by the way, Wednesday night, we're in the book of Romans. I learn something awesome every Wednesday. I'm teaching, and I get done and say, man, God, what you said there was a real truth and a nugget of truth. We also have the youth group that, if you have a youth group, child age group, if I can say it. If you have a youth, youth group on Wednesday. That starts around 6, right? The youth starts around 6. We start from 6:30 to 7:30. We just have a little time of worship, and then we're in the book of Romans, and it's been awesome. The book of Romans is really awesome. So anyway, talking about walking in blessing and not the curse. So I would see things on television and those things, and I would just like, ugh. But I also had a friend that would used to just really rail against the prosperity message. And maybe you've heard me tell this before. He lived in a travel trailer, him and his wife. And he loved the Lord. He was a great guy. I worked with him. Nothing wrong with living in a travel trailer. It's not my point here. But I went to visit him in his travel trailer with him and his wife. There's great people. And all of a sudden, he started bringing out all these guns. And nothing wrong with guns. But I thought, where this guy's treasure is, he was spending all his money on guns. So it was okay for him to have all these guns, a lot of money on guns, but he couldn't live in a house, or he couldn't take care of his wife's needs, all because of this bent, twisted view of religion. As he railed upon prosperity, yet he had, in my opinion, as I was sitting there, I said, you love his money as much as anybody who lives, and you know, lives on a hill in a mansion. It was just a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. See, God wants us to live in his blessing. As we talk about this, we're going to talk about many people don't live in his blessing today, and there's a reason for it. They don't realize it. I have a scripture. Bill, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I want to mention the last scripture in my notes instead of the first one. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And you read a scripture like that and you think, wow, yeah, those that are walking in evil, and they're saying that it's okay to walk in sin and everything. But as I started to read that, I started realizing this: it's those who would just would start to preach and teach things that'll keep people out of his goodness. That's evil. If those who would teach people that they've got to do this and this to get God's favor, that's evil. It's saying that, actually, it's twisting things and saying, if you want God's favor, you're going to have to do this and this. You're basically going to have to walk under the law. You're going to have to follow these steps to be favored, to be God's favor. And I'm telling you that right now, that that's actually evil. That's calling good bad and bad good. It's actually preaching the opposite of what we need to hear to have God's favor released in our life. It's actually saying things that are contrary to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to obtain his goodness, to walk in his goodness, to walk in his light. So as I started reading Deuteronomy 28 and it just opened my eyes, I said, God, if I'm seeing some of these things operating in my life that are just destroying me, why not the good things? Why not the good things? Amen. Amen. It all starts with Father Abraham. Amen. With Abraham. In Deuteronomy 12, 1 and 3. When God first spoke to Abraham. By the way, Abraham is, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Abraham is your father. You're a child of Abraham. Is that true? Isn't that awesome? So let's read about Father Abraham. You know that song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. I don't know those, and so are you. So I am one of them, and so are you. So we're talking about our father. Because of Jesus Christ, we're joint heirs with Israel, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you realize that? Just one body. There's just one body. Because of Jesus Christ, we've been engrafted into that lineage that Jesus Christ came through. And therefore, the promises of God are ours, are yes and amen. Amen? Deuteronomy 12, 1 and 3 says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Verse 2, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Talking about you and I, amen? That royal blood flowing through our veins, amen? Being children of God, being raised from the dead with Christ Jesus, being joint heirs with Abraham. And they're talking about in Romans 4, 1 and 2 says, what then shall we say that Abraham talked about, but how was Abraham justified? So just we got to back up a little bit. How did Abraham become a friend of God? Or how was Abraham blessed? Just a reminder, Romans 4, 1 and 2. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham, verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has nothing to boast about. For not before God, where he has something to boast about. Not before God. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So the first thing known about the blessing of Abraham is it was before the law was ever given, right? It was before he even had a chance to show God how holy he was. Had a chance to show him, you know, this righteous acts. To show him what he could do for God. It was God calling him right from the beginning and said, Abraham, I choose you. And my blessing is going to be upon you. And it's the same way for now today. God's blessing, he chose you and I, first of all, the foundation. He's not willing that any should perish, but you and I have heeded to his voice. Me and you and I were chosen just like Abraham. God called you. When God called me, I wasn't looking for him. I might have been looking for an answer, but he said, I choose you. My eyes were open. I gave my life to him. I became born again, just like Abraham, who God called him and said, I choose you, Abraham. And everybody who's come after Abraham, who's been justified, God has said, I choose you. My hand is upon you. I love you. You belong to me. Follow me. I've got this. I've picked you. You belong to me. Amen. So Israel, we understand that Israel too, then Israel was blessed because of Abraham. Deuteronomy 7:7 says in the Good News Translation, the Lord did not love you and choose you because you outnumbered other peoples. You were small. You were the smallest nation on earth. But the Lord loved you and wanted to keep the promise that he had made to your ancestors. Who was that? Abraham. It said even right there, he kept his hand, even through all the struggles, even when Israel was under bondage to Egypt, God had a plan. Just like you, before you found Christ, you're in bondage. You were in sin. You had no hope. But all of a sudden, He touched your life. He brought you out of darkness, brought him into his marvelous light. He brought you into the promised land. So just like what God did through Abraham, he kept his hand on Israel. And then he said to Israel, hey, I remember my promise. I remember my promise to Abraham. I remember my promises to Isaac. I remember my promises to Jacob. And now I'm going to fulfill those promises now as he took Moses, which is a whole different story in itself. He didn't want to do it, but God chosen Moses and he said, come on, I'm bringing you out. I'm bringing you out of bondage. I'm bringing out of the only thing you've ever known into your life, and I'm bringing you into an open space, an open place, amen? That's what I love about God. He takes us out of things that the only thing we know into his goodness, into his life, into an open space, into purpose, into things we could never even imagine just because he chose you and I and we decided, yes, I'll be a joint heir with Christ. Yes, I'll be a son or daughter of Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. So God speaking to Israel saying, I remember my promises. I'm bringing you out because I remember my promises to Father Abraham. Just a reminder, God choosing us, I mentioned it, Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us, say us. You and I are a group of usins. a church. So when he says he chose us, he means the church. He predestined us to adoptions as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, with which he favored us in the beloved. Adoption as sons and daughters, under what promise? Under the promise of Abraham. Did you know that? He says, I'll make you the father of many nations. So you and I are, we're part of that promise when he spoke that thousands of years ago to Abraham, saying, I will make you the father of many nations. Just like God remembering his promise to the Israelites, as his hand is upon us in covenant, as we'll talk about, he remembers that promise to this day, because he's not a man that he should lie. He speaks in truth. Every good and perfect gift comes down from him. I love that scripture. There's no shifting shadows in God. He doesn't change his mind. Well, I've changed my mind there. No, you and I joint heirs with Christ from the seed of Abraham, as he's a predestined us to adoption. Amen? Then after that, what came? What happened? But then the law came. The law came. You remember how Abraham, what was on those tablets? Those were pretty heavy, huh? God wrote on those. What was on those? Well, not the whole law. Ten Commandments, huh? Ten Commandments. So you, God wrote it, and you have, I always think of Moses as kind of a burly guy, you know, that big guy he didn't want to really mess with. So he carries those Ten Commandments, and he gets down, and what, even before he gives them the Ten Commandments or the law, they're reveling in party, they're worshiping another god, and what's Abraham do to those tablets is, he's so mad he drops them and breaks them and has to go back up the mountain again, have them, God write his finger, write the law, the Ten Commandments on those two tablets again. So we know that the law was written, the Ten Commandments. This is going to be, at some point we're going to come back to this. So on that two stone tablets, it was only the Ten Commandments. It wasn't all the law. It wasn't all the law. Well, that'll make sense later. It wasn't all the law, just the Ten Commandments. So in Deuteronomy 7:11, it says, therefore take care. So what did God say? Therefore take care of the following, to follow the command, decrees, and laws I give you today. Now we're not talking about the promise of Abraham. We're talking about God giving the children of Israel the law. So don't get that confused. He gave them the law. It had nothing to do with the promise of Abraham. But he said, I'm giving you the law today. Therefore take care that you follow and do everything. And then Deuteronomy 7:12-15. What does he say? God say again, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you, as he swore to your ancestors. Verse 13, he will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and olive oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock, in the land of that he swore your ancestors to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor will any of your livestock be without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you do in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. So he talks about the blessing. If you follow me, if you'll do everything I say, here's what you get. Here's the blessing. But the problem is, in Deuteronomy 27:26, it says, cursed is everyone who does not fulfill the words of this law by doing them. And all the people said, amen, we can do it. There was the problem. He says, if I will bless you, if you'll do all of this, if you will keep the law, my blessing will be upon you. Really put everybody completely under the law, the curse of the law. Nobody could keep it perfectly. It was to drive Israel to look to him. But what does it do? As religion always does, it says, we can do it. Give us a list. We can follow it. We need a list of things we can follow, getting the end result of a sum of God's blessing. But gosh, if you've got hundreds of laws to keep, and you can't even keep the 10, Israel ended up falling into curse, the curse of the law. As we go through this today, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, because of the way they were raised and believe, as we get into this book of Galatians, they're under the curse of the law and don't even know it. They don't even know. They'll think that a lot of the things they're struggling with are going on. They say, that's God disciplining me. That's God's teaching me. That God's hand, when it's absolutely a lie of the enemy, it's not true. It's not true. God blesses us, his hand upon us. But when things will go wrong and haywire, I've seen it over and over and over again where people are walking in the law, taking pride of walking in the law, not able to walk in the law. And as things are going haywire, the curse of the law, because you have to do it all, being released in their life. As I saw in my own life, they're thinking, this is God. This is God teaching me something. This is my plight on this earth, to be a Christian, to be heavy laden, to struggle, to be ill, to barely make it, no joy, to be exactly the opposite of what God wants for us. He wants us walking in joy, walking in peace, walking in strength, walking in his ability, walking in his provision. Amen? There's a guy that I see on TV. I won't mention any names, but I'd love seeing him in a church. So when he's in the pulpit, he's got this kind of a heaviness, you know, praying for the people and hard against sin and what's going on in the world. He carries this heaviness and didn't really notice it until he started doing some small teachings from his home, from his kitchen. And from his kitchen, for some reason, he was bright and open, seemed happy, a totally different atmosphere. And I realized, for some reason, because of the law, he feels like when he gets in the pulpit, he's got to have a heaviness. He's got to have this be so sincere. And I'm not saying we take anything for granted, and I take it very serious teaching here, but he has this like this heaviness on him that God doesn't require. It's something from the law. It's something out of the law that you've got to have this attitude. You've got to have this self, demotion of yourself and have this thing upon him that's not the Lord. And I realized it 100% when I saw him preaching from his kitchen, like a normal person with a smile on his face, with God's joy in his heart. I know he's a man of God. I know he loves the Lord. I know the work that he does in helping others. But for some reason, from the pulpit, he feels like he's got to walk in something where it's heavy, it's serious, it's somber. And it's not God. I know that. I thought, man, that what he's doing from the kit. Because I know, because his demeanor. Why did his demeanor change? For some reason, be at home, he didn't feel like he had to have that demeanor. You know, God wants us to walk in his joy and his strength. The thing that the world needs to see is his blessing on our life. The thing that the world needs to see is his joy upon us. That's what attracts people. A blessed life is what attracts people to the gospel. God's goodness in our life is what attracts people. Amen? Amen. So what is Paul? So we're going to go, now we got some of the footnotes. Let me spend a little time on, I'm bringing this up because Galatians, what a powerful book Galatians is. But when you read it, you read a few scriptures, you say what? Galatians 3:10. This is Paul saying this, not me. For as many are under the works of the law are under the curse. Wow, did you hear that? For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I like how it says in the Passion Translation, Galatians 3, 9, and 10. Do you have that, Bill? I'll just read it then because we don't have it in that. So Galatians 3, 9, and 10. Listen, this is what it says. And so the blessing of Abraham's faith is now our blessings too. Amen? Listen to that. The blessing of Abraham's faith is now our blessing too. Isn't that awesome? Verse 10. But if you rely on works of keeping the law for salvation, you live under the law's curse. For it is clearly written, utterly cursed is everyone who fails to practice every detail and requirement that is written in the law. Wow. Did you hear that? What Paul said there? And there's a reason as we go through there, he started bringing this up, where he's saying, hey, look, if you're going to walk in some rules and regulations, the curse of the law is what results from that. It's the same thing as what he's talking about in Romans 2, similar. It says, you that judge others, you're releasing sin in your own life, because that's what you can't keep the law. You want to keep the law. You want to please God, but you're going about it the wrong way. And so when you think that by judging others somehow it's going to help you, it's actually releasing sin in your own life. Wow. Keeping the law for salvation. Then Galatians 3:10 and 3:10 or 3:11 is what it is, Bill. But this is Paul again. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Amen. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. It means you're going to do it. You got to do it all. You got to do it all. Galatians 1:6. So this is where we're talking about, where you can't be justified by the law. It's only by his grace and his love. So what's he start out in Galatians chapter 1? Paul gives his greetings to the church in Galatia, and then he hits it right off the bat, right in Galatians 1, verse 6. It says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God for a different gospel. For a different gospel. Right off the bat, he says that to them. You would think, you read the scripture, you would suppose that the Galatian church had become apostate, forsaken their Christianity, abandoned their cause, become morally bankrupt. You read that without knowing the book, and you would think, gosh, what did they do? What did they do wrong? What kind of apostate or false doctrine did they get in? Man, this must be a group or a church that had fallen into sin and wickedness. Wouldn't you believe that what it looks like? Reading that verse again, I want to read that again, Bill. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. It's pretty interesting. I want to do a comparison real quick with the Corinthians church. Starting out with the Corinthians. So we have our introduction in Galatians, what Paul said about the church there. You think, man, what did they do wrong? What is it that they did wrong? And then you go to 1 Corinthians 1, 4, 7. I thank my God always. Talking to the Corinthians church after he gives his initial greetings. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, just as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you eagerly await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you read these scriptures and you would think that the Corinthian church is doing great, that they don't have any problems, that they're as solid as can be. You read those, you think, wow, man, this church has got it going on. Man, they are really rolling in God's power, his gifting, his provision. They've got it all. Notice the difference that he starts out with the Galatian church. You're falling away. They got to be in some type of sin. The Corinthian church, he encourages them, man, you've got everything in Christ. But then you start reading into Corinthians, and what you find out differently. Among the myriad of problems in the Corinthian church, what was there? Spiritual superiority over others, trying to prove who has more spiritual power. Suing one another in public courts. Abusing the communal meal. So when they came together to eat, to sup together, getting drunk, not helping those that were in need, that were poor. And sexual misbehavior. I'm not saying that the things that were going on there were right. What I'm saying is, why did he start out with the Corinthian church and bless them and say, man, you got everything you need? And because of the church of Galatia, man, who's caused you to fall away? You would think that what was going on in the church should be opposite. And here is simply what it was. The Corinthian church were walking in his grace. They believed in his grace. They believed in his mercy. They were not walking in the law. They were walking in the goodness of God. They were walking in the gospel that Paul preached. Did they have some struggles? Yes, you betcha. Paul had to deal with it. But he said, man, you're established in God. You're walking in his goodness. Man, you're enriched in him. And then goes down into all the things they're struggling with. With the Galatian churches, like, man, what happened to you? You're falling away from him. It would seem it would be opposite, that one should be struggling and the other not. And I tell you, as much as I mentioned before, so much of be careful what we preach or say, because just one little sentence can change people's belief systems for the good or for the bad. Anything that I preach that says, hey, you can do this or you got to do this on your own will only lead to a struggle, only lead to a lifetime of trying to make yourself pleasing to God, will only lead to allowing potentially the curse of the law of what happens when you do things on your own to enter into your life. Remind you that when I started out, it's like, man, I see these curses operating in my life, didn't know it, as I was walking according to a list, the Ten Commandments. I can do this, I can do this, I can be a good boy, I can be a good boy. And it just released sin in my life. It released destruction in my life. It released those things that kept me uptight. It released those things that kept me oppressed in my life. It kept me from the blessing and the purpose of God. When I was actually trying to do the thing that was going to bring a blessing in my life, it was doing the opposite. I'm here today that if you're trying to please God in any way, shape, or form on your own, it will not work. In the end, it will leave you dry. It will leave you high and dry. But when you simply trust him by faith, like the Corinthian church, there's things, yeah, that we need to come out of. There's things that God's breaking off our life. But we'll walk in the blessing that the Corinthian church did strictly and only by faith. Amen? I don't want to be one of those who says, man, Chad, what happened to you? Not because of something evil in my life, but simply because of the way I believed or didn't believe. What you believe has everything to do with the direction in your life, has everything to do with fulfillment in your life, has everything to do with breaking bondages and addictions over your life simply by how you believe. Doesn't seem right to the human mind. It's like, no, I've got to do something. The people I go and see to try to help me say, I've got to do something. But it's crazy to think that those things that we try to manage were never delivered from. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ that at some point those things that keep us bondage are broken in Jesus' name, free from them, purely by the power of the Holy Spirit. It may not be a month, it may not be a year, it may be 5 years, I don't know, it may be 10 years, but I'm telling you, when you don't give up or give in, it's going to happen. The purposes of God are going to happen. And what the enemy does along the way is pressure you against you, pressure you and say, you can't do it. The struggles that you're having are your own fault. It's you, the accuser of the brother. But we turn around and says, it's you, Lord. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Amen. It's Galatians 1, 6, and 7. I'm going to read both those scriptures now. Paul talking to the Galatian church. I'm amazed that you so quickly are deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not just another account, but there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Somebody wanting to distort it. Paul goes on to say in Galatians 3:1, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified? Wow. The way he hit them. Once again, simply as we'll see for a change, it would seem like a small change in belief. What we'll talk about what they were changing and how they believe is like it would make sense that what some of these preachers that we invited in from Jerusalem it sounds like what they're saying to us makes sense. We're always human. Our humanness always wants more. We think we're missing something. Even Adam and Eve say, man, Satan tricking her that they were somehow missing out. That in the garden, in paradise, that they, the enemy convincing them that they didn't have everything they needed. I love the fact that in Jesus Christ we have everything we need. Amen. I say in Jesus Christ we have everything we need. Every blessing we need is in Him. Amen. It's those things that we'll keep telling ourselves, man, when I get here, then God's going to open this door. When I get to here, then God, or I become a better boy or girl, God will give me that blessing. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie of the enemy, because you'll never get there. When will you get to being a good enough boy or girl? Or you have all your act together, or you have every duck in a row. No, that's the enemy's ploy, just to keep the blessing of God down the road, like a fish chasing that spinner bait, right? Just keep chasing that shiny object. But God, for right now, the you know what? You, through faith, qualify for God's blessing right now. Did you know that? As you grow in your ability, as you grow in the things He has for you, those things will compound. Whether it be in ministry, whether it be in the job, whether it be in business, whatever it is that God's hand is on you for your purpose, it'll grow. It starts growing now. I'm telling you, church, it's time for us to grow in God's blessing now. Doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. God's blessing is on you and I right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you finally get some of these things you're struggling with taken care of on your own, I'm sure. But as you qualify right now. Can you believe that in your life? That's right. Colossians 1:12 says He qualifies us. You know, when we start to believe that, God's blessing on our life, by our faith in Him, by our trust in Him, it opens doors simply by faith. By the same faith that Abraham had. I know he was such a holy guy his whole life. He didn't sleep with anybody else. He didn't lie. He was perfect. He made a lot of mistakes, to be honest, like we all have. But he didn't give up believing. Simply believed. He didn't have the law. The blessing on our lives is not based upon you following some written regulations. When people do that, they don't realize they're doing just like the Pharisees did. You can't do it. They weren't. How religious were the Pharisees? They were the most ungodly of the lot. They knew the Bible more than anybody, but they were the most ungodly of the lot in Israel. Their religion kept them from seeing the Messiah. Their religion kept them from walking in blessing. We can't allow religion to keep us from walking in the blessing of Abraham. I'm telling you, we can't allow that to do that. There's so many times in my, and just the way I was raised and how I was, that when God's blessing in my life, I'm thinking, I didn't deserve this. What do I need to go do? It's just built in us sometimes. Instead of saying, God, thank you. How can I bless others? How can I bless others? I start getting nervous, saying, I don't deserve this. I'm going to tell you, none of us deserve His blessing. If you think you deserve His blessing on your own merits, that's true blindness. But you understand you deserve His blessing based upon Jesus' merits. Amen. That's when we can receive. Amen. That's when we can receive for Him, for everything He has for us to give to the world. You don't have the smarts to make it happen in business. When you realize that, that's when the blessing will happen. You don't have the smarts to get where you need to go, but when you realize He does, that's when you'll get somewhere. Amen? Simply by faith. You know, I was talking last Wednesday, and it's amazing how it's hard for us, because I was talking about how in the world it's this way. Okay, your SAT scores, your SAT scores are good enough. We'll take you in this college. Come on. We like you. We'll hire you. Come on. It's just the different things, how the world chooses this merit system. I'm telling you, the merit system of Daniel was not on the world's merit system. God's blessing was on Daniel. God's promotion was not because of his smarts. It was because of the gifting God placed in his life to bless who he was serving, the king. Interpreting a dream put him in charge. Joseph, remember Joseph? Interpreting a dream made him number two in the nation. Whose blessing was that? That was God. He didn't come in and somebody said, okay, we're going to give you an aptitude test, Joseph. He would have failed that. Spent a bunch of time in prison. He was raised with a bunch of goat farmers. To be honest, but God's aptitude in him, nothing wrong with goats. God bless the goats. Looking for my father-in-law, right, Dad? My point being, all those people in the Word of God that we read about God's promotion and grace and power and blessing was God alone. They simply said, I believe. And they stayed firm, even when they struggled, even when they felt like giving up, even when they blew it. They said, "Well, I'm still trusting you, Lord." Amen. I want to read that again in Galatians 3:1, the New Living Translation. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Wow. 100% on faith in the cross. Let me tell you, it's only him. I've got many more pages of notes, but we got next Sunday. Something I want you to keep this week as you're just trusting the Lord, just start saying, Lord, speak to me about your blessing in my life. It's amazing how, once again, Paul starting out, he said, man, who bewitched you? Why are you falling away? We're going to get into why that happened. In the Corinthians, my goodness, showering all this praise upon them starting out, who you are in Christ, they got it together. Not at all. As far as the scent meter, I guarantee the Corinthians probably had everybody beat. If you want to have a scent meter, everything that was going on. But yet it was the Galatians that Paul had the concern for. It was the Galatians, he says, man, what's happened to you? Can we stand up as the worship team comes? Father, we thank you today. As this week, as we just think about, Lord, start declaring this week, saying, Lord, I want your blessing on my life to be evident. Lord, I want your blessing on my life to be evident. Did you know that he wants his blessing on your life to be evident? I'm telling you, he does. Start telling you, saying, Lord, I thank you for everything you've given me. This week, just start saying, Lord, thank you for everything you placed within me. Thank you for every open door coming. Lord, thank you that in spite of me, Father, your blessing, your goodness, your spirit, your strength, your ability is upon me. I don't care if you have a bad Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You tell them on Thursday, thank you, Lord. Your ability and blessing is on my life. I don't care if you have a bad Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you get here next Sunday. You say, Lord, thank you that your blessing and ability is upon me. That's when things are going to happen. When you dare to believe in his blessing on your life in spite of yourself, I'm telling you, those are the type of people God can use. That's when the curse of the law is broken. We're going to talk about the curse of the law more. When this curse, we curse ourselves. By putting ourselves in a box and saying, I can do it. I can fast enough. I can pray enough. I can do this enough. I can work enough hours. God, are you pleased with me? I've helped enough people. I've been helping other people. Are you pleased with me, God? But dare this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I hope to see you next Sunday, saying, God, I am open. I want everything you have for me. And every curse of the law, depression, broken in Jesus' name. The curse of poverty. I said that. The curse of poverty. I want broken over my life in Jesus' name. Anxiety. The curse of the law. I want it broke over my life in Jesus' name. Free unto him. Only by believing. Father, I thank you that we are not under the curse of the law, but under the blessing of Abraham. Because as Abraham, we believe in you. We're joint heirs. We're children of Abraham. We have the blessings of Abraham. We're going to talk about Paul saying that in the book of Galatians, that we have the blessing of Abraham. So, Father, we thank you for speaking to your people this week. We thank you for encouraging your people this week. We thank you for strengthening your people this week. Father, we thank you, Father, for bringing joy in our lives this week, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's taking place, simply because of our faith, Father God, that we have the blessing of Abraham in our finances, in our health, in Jesus' name, in our health, in our families, in our children. I said in our children, in Jesus' name. And so we declare that, Father, that we are not under the curse. Father, we're not any under generational curses. I'm a child of Abraham now. I'm not under any generational curses. My real father, he died of alcoholism, but I'm not going to. Don't let the enemy say, he'll start speaking your mind and says, you know, just like your mom or just like your dad, this is going to happen to you. That's a lie of the enemy. Did you know that? There's no generational curses on you. I was part of a group that we prayed and rebuked generational curses till the cows came home. Went on a 3-day fast. Came back and said, still thinking, if I could just get rid of these things, I'd be blessed, God. You would love me. When I put all of that away and simply trust him that he loves me where I am, in spite of me, those curses of the law that were dragging on me were broken. Just because of the way I changed my belief. Just my faith did it. But we thank you, Lord, this week as we walk in the blessing of Abraham. Do you believe that? Take, if you don't mind, just take your hand and say, Lord, thank you for I'm a child of Abraham. Lord, the blessings of Abraham shall follow me, pursue me, overtake me, deliver me, heal me, defend me. We thank you for leading us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. It's all yours, ladies.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus to. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark. Till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear. Over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.